The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Then it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, November 6, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here. I'm still a little under the weather and a long way from home. I'm in beautiful Nampa, Idaho, at my parents' house, of all places. And the reason we're audio only today is we don't have the strongest internet connection here, so we'll be doing the audio show, but hey, it's a radio show anyway, right? So what's the problem? We got a great show for you today. Of course, yesterday was election night in America, and there were five different major marijuana proposals on the ballot, one statewide tax measure in Colorado, and four citywide legalization votes in Maine and Michigan. We're going to give you the results of all of them, but little spoiler alert, they all won. Also on today's show, we're going to take a look at some changes and developments in Oregon's marijuana laws that are soon to make Oregon the most legal-free marijuana state in the nation come 2014. We'll tell you all about that in Behind the Headlines. In today's Daily Toker Tunes, it's Ivy Wednesday. We got Gordon Green calling in today, and I believe we got some Burning Spear music for you today, so we're looking forward to that at 20 after the hour. At half past, it's time to listen to your mother. We've got a great interview coming up with Stephanie Joins from Moms for Marijuana New Jersey. She's going to talk all about the racial profiling that goes on, NYPD stop and frisk, and what made her want to be a mom for marijuana. And then at the end of the show, time for a radical rant. And oh my God, I don't know if you've seen these stories coming out of New Mexico, but we're going to tell you not one, but two horror stories coming out of New Mexico with regard to your right to, well, bodily integrity, for much less search and seizure. So stay tuned for that. And then we'll take it into hour two, into Toker Talk Radio. We've got a bunch of stories to talk about. We've got another stupid prohibition story featuring a name from the long ago past. If you remember the subway shooter, Bernie Goetz, he made the news. We'll talk about that in stupid prohibition stories. Also, we're going to take some time to take a look at another explosion due to butane hash oil manufacturing and the new framing that the media is putting on that. All that plus your calls, 971-533-7111. Stay tuned. We're back live from Idaho after this.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, November 6, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Recreational pot legalized in four U.S. cities by a 2-to-1 margin from HighTimes.com. Election Day 2013 found four U.S. cities, Portland, Maine, and Ferndale, Jackson, and Lansing, Michigan, voting on proposals to decriminalize or legalize personal possession of marijuana. In all four cities, marijuana reform passed by overwhelming margins. Portland, Maine voted on legalization of 2.5 ounces of marijuana. Voters supported that proposal with 67% of the vote. The proposal does not legalize cultivation or sale, but does allow for adults 21 and older in Portland city limits to, quote, engage in activities for the purposes of ascertaining the possession of marijuana and paraphernalia, end quote, which presumably allows for the sharing of marijuana between adults. Ferndale, Jackson, and Lansing, Michigan all voted to amend their city charters so, quote, nothing in the code of ordinances shall apply to the use, possession, and transfer of less than 1 ounce of marijuana on private property by a person who has attained 21 years of age, end quote. Again, cultivation and sales are not allowed, but sharing would be allowed. Ferndale passed its measure 2332 to 1035, 69% support. Jackson passed its measure 2242 to 1434, 61% support. Lansing passed its measure 8550 to 4339, 5339, excuse me, 62% support. Aggregating these Michigan votes and adding in the 9,921 yes votes and 4,823 no votes from Portland's referendum, we have four cities that have approved marijuana legalization by a nearly 2-to-1 margin. Colorado voters approved new taxes on recreational marijuana from the Denver Post. A measure to impose hefty taxes on recreational marijuana passed easily Tuesday as voters across the state overwhelmingly chose to make pot one of the most heavily taxed consumer products in Colorado. At 10 p.m., Proposition AA was leading 65% to 35%. Colorado's Attorney General and a number of marijuana business owners, politically strange bedfellows, both supported Proposition AA. Governor John Hickenlooper also supported the tax measure despite his opposition to marijuana legalization. According to the state's voter guide, the measure is expected to bring in $67 million a year. Of that, $27.5 million generated by the excise tax would go towards school construction, as specified in last year's constitutional amendment that legalized the use of recreational marijuana and also allowed for pot to be sold to anyone over 21 at specially licensed stores. The rest of the money will go toward paying for the regulation of the pot shops, as well as any associated impacts of legalization. Michigan Senate looks to move medical marijuana into pharmacies and licensed manufacturing facilities from MichiganLive.com. Michigan's Republican-led Senate is considering a plan to create a new system for regulating and distributing medical marijuana. Legislation introduced by Senator Roger Kahn and co-sponsored by Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville seeks to reclassify medical marijuana, license facilities to grow the drug and distribute it through authorized pharmacies. The system, which would require federal approval before it could be implemented, would treat marijuana as a Schedule II drug, similar to OxyContin or Percocet. Anyone wishing to manufacture, distribute, prescribe, or dispense marijuana would have to obtain a license from the Michigan Board of Pharmacy, as already required for other controlled substances. Denver continues to tweak a public pot consumption law, from the Denver Post. In what's become a debate over civil liberties and compliances with a new state law legalizing the recreational use of marijuana, the Denver City Council on Monday floated suggestions on the best ways to regulate the open and public consumption of pot. A recent draft law, crafted by Councilman Chris Nevitt and introduced before a council committee, allows people in Denver to smoke in their backyards. But under the current draft, consuming marijuana on a front porch visible from the street would be prohibited. Council members such as Paul Lopez were concerned about restrictions on smoking marijuana on a private front porch or balcony. Said Lopez, quote, "People should not be criminalized for doing something on their own private property, whether it's drinking a beer, smoking a joint, or smoking a cigarette," end quote. Washington and Colorado courts weigh lawyer pot use and advice, from King5.com. Washington's Supreme Court is taking up an emergency proposal to change the state's ethics rules for lawyers to make clear that attorneys complying with state law won't get in trouble for giving pot-related legal advice or for smoking up themselves, as long as they're not high at work. The Supreme Court in Colorado, the other state to legalize marijuana for recreational use, has been presented with a similar proposal. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, November 6, 2013. I'm Russ Balva. When we come back, we go behind the headlines to take a look at recent developments in the state of Oregon that lay the foundation for the state becoming the most legal place in the world for marijuana in 2014. Listening to the Russ Balva Show live from Nampa, Idaho, on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up. .org presents Jorge Cervantes TV, featuring Jorge Cervantes from Barcelona, Spain. The master grower has dropped the disguises and brings you the best grow tips from around the world every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, with replays Friday at 8 a.m., Saturdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 7 a.m., and Mondays at 3 a.m., right here at 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. 15 after the hour, and time for us to go behind the headlines. And on today's segment, we're taking a look at an opinion that just came down from the Office of Legislative Counsel in the state of Oregon. Just to set some background on this, in September, officials in the southern Oregon city of Medford voted to ban medical marijuana dispensaries. Basically, they included in their business code, their business licensing, that businesses couldn't violate state or federal laws. And of course, a dispensary would violate a federal law. In October, the mayor of Grants Pass, Oregon, down there in southern Oregon, Darren Fowler, warned that dispensaries would hurt his town's tourism and retirement population. And he has vowed to vote on a ban before the end of the year. And by November, two other cities in central Oregon, Madras and Metolius, also determined that dispensaries should be banned. Now, understand, they were talking about these bans in the passage, in the wake of passage of a new law. This would be HB 3460 that just recently passed. It's a law that establishes and regulates medical marijuana retail facilities in Oregon. And these four cities have just been given a stern rebuke by the Office of Legislative Counsel. The chief counsel there, Charles D. Taylor, he's the senior deputy legislative counsel, said, quote, the law preempts, the HB 3460, the dispensary law, preempts most municipal laws specifically targeting medical marijuana facilities, end quote. And the officials in Medford, they were trying to use the whole illegal under federal law to get away with it. And Mr. Taylor swatted that away. He said, quote, we conclude that while a municipality may not be required to violate federal law to comply with a conflicting state law, a municipality may not act contrary to state law merely because the municipality believes the action will better carry out the purposes and objectives of federal law, end quote. So it's a very fine line that he's drawing there, but apparently what the Office of Legislative Counsel is trying to say is that HB 3460 is the law of the land, and it preempts any attempts by the localities in Oregon to overturn or make invalid that law. Now, there's another factor at work here as well, the GMO law. We had a law that just recently passed. It was called the GMO law. GMO stands for genetically modified organisms. And the law that passed was written so that only the state, not municipalities or counties, can regulate agricultural seeds and their products. Now, the whole reason for doing this was to prevent a patchwork of local laws regarding GMO crops. And it wasn't necessarily to protect medical marijuana, but nobody can deny that cannabis is the product of an agricultural seed. And that GMO law says only the state can regulate agricultural seed products, not localities. Mr. Taylor from the Office of Legislative Counsel opined that the GMO law would, quote, present some barriers, end quote, to cities that are trying to ban the dispensaries. Now, it's important to recognize that the Legislative Council's opinion is not binding. In fact, the lobbyist for the League of Oregon Cities, his name is Scott Winkles, he still believes cities can legally maintain local control over dispensaries, otherwise known as a ban. However, the opinion is read by most, the Legislative Council opinion, is read by most people as a pretty clear indicator that banning dispensaries would lead cities into a lengthy, costly, and ultimately fruitless court battle. So, with this opinion from the Legislative Council and the passage of this dispensary bill, Oregon's regulation of medical marijuana dispensaries may be the best in the country. California Supreme Court has ruled that cities can ban dispensaries, and at least 180 California cities have banned medical marijuana dispensaries. Washington's dispensaries aren't technically legal, and they're currently being threatened by the I-502 legalization rollout and the draft rules from the Washington Liquor Control Board. And unlike most other dispensaries, they have a limit as to 1 ounce or less that you can purchase. Oregon's law doesn't make any limit on how much marijuana can be purchased, aside from the possession limit that's already exists, which is 24 ounces. Although they do allow the legislature to make rules regarding purchase limits if they want to. Oregon has no cap on the total number of dispensaries. You know, like in Arizona, they got a rule that you can only have one dispensary for every 10 pharmacies. So looking at all these things put together, and think about in Colorado, they've got seed to sale. In Oregon, any cardholder is going to be able to sell usable marijuana and seedlings to any Oregon dispensary.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack Go!
Naar de Cannabis Cup van 24 tot en met 28 november in Amsterdam in de Van Genthallen bij Amsterdam Roest. Verwacht alle coffeeshophouders uit Amsterdam die hun beste nieuwste producten laten zien. En hun wiet en hash wordt gekeurd door een panel aan deskundige wiet-experts die een uitreiking gaan doen wie de beste wiet en hash heeft van het land. Verder heel lekker eten, drinken, sapjes, toffe optredens in de Melkweg. Dus zorg dat je erbij bent. 26e editie van de Cannabis Cup.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour, and at this time, we'd normally be speaking with Gordon Green out there in Spain. Unfortunately, we got our wires crossed. When I'm out here on a remote event, I have to use a different Skype account so that I can call from the remote Skype account to the studio Skype account. Unfortunately, Gordon's calling into the studio Skype account, which I can't touch right now, and we're not connected on the other Skype account. So I'm just going to have to wing it here for our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tune. But I understand today's tune is going to come to us from Burning Spear, great reggae group. We've had played many of their records on the show before, so I hope you enjoy that. And then later on tonight, Brian the Red will be coming in to do his latest edition of Red Eyes Reggae Flashback. So you can check that out and get yourself a full hour of real deep reggae tracks, really authentic stuff that he's pulling off of tapes and reel-to-reels and cassettes that have been recorded. Some of these things are unavailable, out-of-print things. So nobody that I know has a greater knowledge of reggae music than Brian the Red. So make sure you check that out. You can also follow Red Eyes Reggae Flashback on Twitter, @RedEyesReggae, and Red Eyes is with a Z. Red Eyes Reggae. And here we've got Gordon. We're going to add him to this group call here right this minute here. If this button will, let's see, accept that and then add to group call. Oh, we're trying here. We're trying to get you, Gordon. Just one moment here. Add to group call. Here we go. Gordon, you're on the line. Can you hear me okay?
Hey, Russ. I can hear you just fine. How you doing?
Great, man. Sorry about the confusion. We haven't got a lot of time left, so tell us about the track.
Hey, man. This is Peter Tosh live from the New York City Bottom Line Ballroom in 1979. It's a track called 400 Years from the first Wailers album that was released outside of Jamaica called Soul Rebels 1970. And it's a great track. Hope you dig it, man.
All right, Gordon. Thank you so much. And thanks for getting through with us. Appreciate it.
Sure, Russ.
Даня Данко. Я редактор журнала High Times. Отвечаю за отдел культивации, или, проще говоря, выращивания. Приглашаем вас в Амстердам с 24 по 28 ноября, чтобы посетить ежегодный турнир Cannabis Cup, уже 26-й по счету. Там мы сравним множество видов марихуаны и кашиша из межных кофешопов. Еще у нас там выставка товаров, семинары по выращиванию, ночные концерты и вручение премии за лучшие в мире сорта марихуаны. Хотите получить 10% скидку со стоимости билета? Используйте промокод Данько на сайте cannabiscup.com. Ждем вас!
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
420Radio.org presents Hemp Radio with Patty Cakes in Orange County, debuting every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, with replays Thursday at 7 a.m., Fridays at midnight, and Sundays at 9 p.m. right here on 420radio.org.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belleville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back. Today, our guest on Cannabis Community Chat is an activist from New Jersey by the name of Stephanie Joins with Moms for Marijuana in New Jersey. We're trying to raise her online right now, and we will talk to her just as soon as she answers. Of course, Moms for Marijuana, you can find them out at momsformarijuana.org. They are an international group founded by a friend of mine by the name of Sarah Frank, and we are still not receiving any response on the line from Stephanie Joins. I'm going to check to see. Perhaps I've got a different phone number I need to call, but we're not finding it. Let's see what I can find over in this email. Stephanie Joins. There's nothing there. Okay, we're trying, folks. Sorry, we're on the road and doing the best we can here. Stephanie, if you're listening to the show, you won't be able to call me because I'm not at the home line. So I will try this other number that has been given to me in this email. Let's see if there's an answer on this line. Sorry, folks, for the wait. We're trying to see his phone number again. We shall try one last time to see if we can get a connection. Also, want to remind everyone that coming up next week on the Russ Belleville Show, we will be having a week-long special. Now, understand that Monday is Veterans Day, and we take federal holidays off, so we will not be on the air for Veterans Day, but we will be on the air the rest of the week, Tuesday through Friday. And on those episodes, we will be featuring many guests from Moms for Marijuana, as well as guests that are involved in the family law aspects of child protective services. Our entire week next week focuses on child protective services being used currently as a tool against medical marijuana using patients in a variety of states. Charmy Goulson will be joining us, Sarah Arnold from Massachusetts, Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana, Lindsay Reinhart, Idaho refugee like myself, will be there, and many others. So make sure you tune in next week. And I'm going to try one last opportunity here to get us connected on this call. Let's see if this will work.
We are trying all possibilities here, folks. And again, I'm sorry for the remote problems here and trying to get this to work. But let's see what we can do as far as adding to this call. Let's try the number. Oh, I'm so sorry, folks. I know this is not the best radio in the world. Just wish we had these numbers already programmed in. Unfortunately, we do not. Oh, come on. I am in Idaho right at the moment and trying to do a remote. I'm remoting in to my home studio, trying to call out on its line and not having much luck. So again, I will keep trying this. Come on. I'm so terribly sorry, folks. This is just not going to work. We will be back and I'll come back with the Radical Rant. Sorry. And my apologies to Stephanie Joins for being in it and connect to her today. Be back after these messages.
You cut people, you smoke trees till you get what you need now. Designer drugs and midget smokes to get through the day. You always get them so high.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD.
Here we go. One big push. Big push.
Fear for accomplishment in the field of law enforcement. Big Spear was this remarkable guy. He worked in the British Home Office. He was the drug guy in the British Home Office, and he was a cop. But he was also the guy who knew the name of almost every single active injecting drug user in London, every single one, and they knew his name as well. This was a cop who didn't see his objective as locking those guys up, but helping them. In this case, I'm going to ask somebody most of you already know, which is the head of LEAP, Neil Franklin, to give this award to the Seattle Police Department. Come on in.
Bright more than one way.
You know, back in the days of the gracious Chief Norm Stamper, lead speaker, by the way, you know, the Seattle Police Department has had a focus on harm reduction, just like Paul McNeil Exchange, like my hometown of Baltimore. Many, many lives were saved just from that alone. Yeah, don't even clap. I mean, that's what we need to do more of around the country, and we need law enforcement to support that. Yes. True, honest compassion for those in danger and in need. You know, the groundbreaking law enforcement assisted diversion program, known as LEAD to many of us here by the Seattle Police Department, you know, that's a common sense law enforcement approach, you know, to saving, literally saving the lives of low-level drug dealers and users. But I think I just said an oxymoron there. I said common sense and law enforcement in the same sentence. And now we have marijuana legalization in Seattle, Washington, in the entire state, in Seattle, Washington. And I don't think there's any other police chief and men and women of a police department, police chief like Pujol, who would embrace this new policy change as well as it has been embraced. And this really, it really touches my heart. And I yearn for the day that when every police department across this country will see the light and become part of the solution instead of a major part of the problem. Sean Wickman's going to accept the award for the Seattle Police Department.
He had to do that, didn't he? So I just want to start by saying, on behalf of the Seattle Police Department, on behalf of Jim Pujol, our Chief of Police, and the men and women of SPD, it is truly an honor to be here tonight. And yeah, we've been doing some good things in Seattle. Chief Pujol's cornerstones, four cornerstones, justice, excellence, humility, harm reduction for a police department of our size. These are things that we all stand behind. These are values that we have internalized and institutionalized in our police department. So LEAD, you'll all be pleased to know, pilot program, many partners in Seattle, wouldn't have happened without the work of many, has been expanded to every downtown neighborhood. So that's happening. And you know what they say, Belltown yesterday, downtown today, what's gonna happen tomorrow? When I-502 passed, and it passed by a generous margin in Washington State, and even more overwhelmingly in Seattle, we looked at each other, we said, what are we gonna do? Well, we serve the people, we're a police department, we enforce the law is changing, we embrace the law, and we wanted to make sure that everyone who lived in Seattle, who worked in Seattle, who sent their kids to school in Seattle's fine universities and colleges, and people who took advantage of our cruise ship industry to visit, that they knew exactly what our expectations were. My colleague Jonas Spangenthal, the former crime reporter and who now blogs for the department, wrote a little FAQ called Mara What Now? I hope you've seen it, because almost 500,000 people have.
Yeah.
It's been translated into Spanish and French and Russian and heaven knows what other languages. At HempFest, and I'll be real quick because I'm running out of time, the biggest protestable in the country, I think it's 22 years in. Yeah, we wanted to be part of that conversation too, so we showed up with everyone's favorite delicious snack, Doritos. with little stickers on them, letting people know, letting festival goers know what the rules were and what our expectations were. So this is how we at SPD have embraced this law. We look forward to continuing our service to the community and setting an example for our partners in law enforcement across the country. Thank you very much.
Our apologies to Stephanie Joins. We'll try to reschedule her for...
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Yar, thar be pirates here.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, longtime fans of the show, you'll remember not too long ago, we were ranting about a couple of traffic stops in Texas. You remember the ones where the women are pulled over on the side of the road, and because the cop smells pot, he subjects them to roadside body cavity searches right there on dash cam and on the side of the road for everyone driving by to see. And you remember how shocked we were. Shocked, I tell you, that they called the female trooper over there to stick her hands down the pants of these women, to place her fingers inside the anus and vaginas of these women, and how she didn't change gloves in between. Remember how outraged we were at that? And remember how much more outraged we were when we found out there was a second incidence of this happening? Well, folks, you may have to recalibrate your outrage meters for these next stories, because we move just slightly west of Texas to New Mexico for these exclusive reports from KOB.com, the news channel down there in southern New Mexico. Their story, Four on Your Side, investigates traffic stop nightmare, came out on yesterday, and there's a follow-up story today. Let me just run this down for you, and if you've recently eaten, you may not want to hear this, because it might just... You might lose your lunch when you hear this. You might be so outraged that you want to drive to New Mexico with me and protest right this minute. This is just beyond the pale. And I've read a lot of reports. And really, the only instance I can think of in my time doing this show that pissed me off worse was the Daniel Chong story, where the kid was left in the holding cell for 4 days without food or water, nearly died, right? This is close. This is an incident that began on January 2nd, 2013. There was a man named David Eckert, and he was shopping at a Walmart in Deming, New Mexico. Now, according to the court documents that have been filed, and according to the police reports, when Eckert was leaving the parking lot from the Walmart, he didn't make a complete stop at the stop sign. You know, you come up to the parking lot, you look, nobody's there, you kind of leave, right? And he was immediately stopped by law enforcement. There must have been a cop sitting there, saw him rolling through the stop sign, immediately stopped by law enforcement. As they were talking to this David Eckert, they asked him to step out of his vehicle, and he appeared to be clenching his buttocks, according to the report. And law enforcement officers thought that was probable cause to suspect that Eckert was hiding narcotics up his ass. Yes. Also, there was a drug dog brought in. Leo, I believe, was the drug dog's name, who alerted to the smell of marijuana on the passenger seat. So obviously this man must be hiding, or I'm sorry, the smell of narcotics. We can't say it was necessarily marijuana. But apparently, enough probable cause here for the officers to get a warrant to search his ass. And they did. They got a search warrant from a judge who allowed an anal cavity search. So the cops then take this Eckert, this guy Eckert, to the local hospital in Deming, the emergency room there, for the anal cavity search. But the doctor there, bless his soul, refused to perform the anal cavity search, citing that it was unethical. Gosh, you think? So, what did the cops do at that point? Well, my God, there might be a guy with marijuana up his ass, so we can't stop there, can we? No, they took him out of the emergency room in Deming and drove him to the Gila Regional Medical Center in Silver City. Now, here is a list of the procedures that were performed at the Gila Regional Medical Center by some physicians who apparently have less ethical constraints than the ones in Deming. Number one. Yes, folks, these are numbered. Eckert's abdominal area was x-rayed. No narcotics were found. Number two. Doctors then performed an exam of Eckert's anus with their fingers. No narcotics were found. Number three. Doctors performed a second exam of Eckert's anus with their fingers. No narcotics were found. Number four, doctors penetrated Eckert's anus to insert an enema. Eckert was forced to defecate in front of doctors and police officers. Eckert watched as doctors searched his stool. No narcotics were found. All right, so we've done an x-ray. We've stuck our hands up his ass twice. And we've done a full enema, emptied all his stool out into some tin and searched through it for, I don't know, weed, pills, whatever. We found nothing, right? So, end of story, right? No, you know how this goes. Why? A drug dog smelled something. There must be something up there. So, number five. Doctors penetrated Eckert's anus to insert an enema a second time. Eckert was forced to defecate in front of doctors and police officers. Eckert watched as doctors searched his stool. No narcotics were found. Okay, so two enemas, right? Two enemas. No narcotics were found. Well, just like baseball, it's got to be three strikes before you're out. So number six, doctors penetrated Eckert's anus to insert an enema a third time. Eckert was forced to defecate in front of doctors and police officers. Eckert watched as doctor searched his stool. No narcotics were found. Okay, well, we've had doctors x-ray the guy. We've had doctors stick their hands up his ass twice. We've had doctors given him an enema three times and searched through his shit. We haven't found anything. So this has got to be where it ends, right? Because, I mean, there's obviously nothing up there. The drug dog must be wrong, correct? No, of course not. Number seven, doctors then x-rayed Eckert again. No narcotics were found. All right, two x-rays, two anal cavity searches, and three enemas later, we haven't found anything. So, of course, number eight, doctors prepared Eckert for surgery, sedated him, and then performed a colonoscopy where a scope with a camera was inserted into Eckert's anus, rectum, colon, and large intestines. And say it with me, folks, no narcotics were found. Now, throughout this ordeal, Eckert protested, I should think so, and never gave the doctors at the Gila Regional Medical Center consent to perform any of these medical procedures. Now, here's the situation we find ourselves in when the war on drugs has demonized the use of drugs and possession of it to such an extent and incentivized police departments to find it and arrest people for it to such an extent that we will sodomize a guy six times, seven, eight times trying to find the elusive narcotic. Eight times. Now, if you thought this, while it was all disgusting and a bit of overkill, if you thought this was all perfectly legal because they had a warrant after all, think again, dear listener, In the federal lawsuit that they are filing against the doctors and the cops and the state, they find that, number one, the search warrant was overly broad and lacked probable cause because, you know, clenching your ass cheeks is not necessarily probable cause of hiding narcotics up your ass. Maybe the guy just had to take a shit. But beyond that, the warrant was only valid in Luna County. Remember, he was pulled over in Deming, which is in Luna County. The doctors in Luna County wouldn't do it. The Gila Regional Medical Center is not in Luna County, folks. It's in Grant County. So every medical procedure was performed illegally, and every doctor who performed those procedures was doing it with no legal basis and no consent from the patient. And if that wasn't enough, the search warrant expired at 10 p.m. The medical records show the prepping for the colonoscopy started at 1 in the morning the following day, 3 hours after that search warrant expired. In all, this man was detained by police, sodomized by hospital officials over the course of a 14-hour detention. Because a drug dog smelled something on the seat. And the guy was clenching his butt cheeks, and you know, he did run a stop sign. So, I imagine right now, if I was listening, if I was in the room with you listeners, your outrage meter would be pretty much pegged by now, wouldn't you? I know mine was when I heard this story just the other day. And yet, I get into the news this morning, and I find this from KOB.com. 4 On Your Side reveals another traffic stop nightmare. So, in addition to the story of David Eckert, they point out in this story that the canine dog, Leo, alerted for the drugs on this guy's driver's seat. Well, guess what, folks? Another man, another minor traffic violation, and another incident with Leo, the canine dog. This involves a man by the name of Timothy Young. He was pulled over because he turned without putting his blinker on. Turned without a blinker, obviously a criminal. He turned without putting his blinker on, so Leo the canine is brought in, and what do you know? Leo smells drugs on the passenger seat. So the cops take Young to the Gila Regional Medical Center in Silver City, and just like Eckert, he's subjected to medical procedures, including x-rays of his stomach and an anal exam. And once again, no narcotics were found. And once again, the procedures were done without consent. And once again, they were in the county that was not the county where the search warrant was covering. Oh yeah, folks, there are some big federal lawsuits coming down from this one. And to add just a little bit to this story, Leo, the canine dog, who's alerting to all these drugs in the passenger seat, his drug dog certification expired in April of 2011. Now, canine dogs, you know, have to be certified every year. So, for the past 2 years, Leo has been an uncertified canine drug-sniffing dog. And it was during those periods of time, it was during that period of time, when these two men, based on Leo's infallible nose, were subjected to all manner of humiliating, invasive, and unconstitutional violations of their bodies. Well, folks, the doctors at Gila Regional Medical Center are being turned over to the state licensing board. They may lose their license. They should. And the cops are answering to the law enforcement board. We will keep you posted on what happens with them. But, folks, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ out here in Nampa, Idaho, doing remote shows all week long. Stay tuned for Torpid Talk Radio coming up next. And for everyone here at the Russ Belleville Show, thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show.
Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seat, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plan it, you